COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Hey, folks, and thanks for joining me. I was watching the Federal Reserve chairman just speaking just now, and I just want to give you some snippets of what he talked about. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. There's a lot of channels. They'll play the entire thing and kind of explain some things through you. They're just trying to get you to stay on their channel longer. I'm just going to summarize this for you. So, folks, so I was watching the Federal Reserve meeting. First off, let's get over and see how the markets are reacting to what happened. So the Federal Reserve, they did not cut rates. That wasn't a really surprise. But let's get over to see how the markets are reacting. Now, this is kind of a seesaw effect. So here's what we want to really focus in on, what this was going to do right through here. So if you follow my channel daily, we follow the MBS market. So this is what happened right when the announcement took place. Where was it? It was at 1 o'clock. Where is that? Can I find it here? Right there. Okay. So that's what happened. And then the markets didn't really, they digested the data. Actually, the MBS went up 7 ticks from where it was. And then all of a sudden, this trade took effect. So we're going to, we'll pause on here for a minute. Well, I'll keep this on the screen for a little bit and it'll be in the background. We're going to see what this does. So let's get over to the equity markets, because I want to explain to you guys what the Federal Chairman just said. So for a lot of people that watched it or didn't watch it, there might be some things in here that kind of catch your attention, and they did mine. So here's the gist of what I took out of this, and I'm surprised the markets aren't rallying on this data. And as people focus in on actually what the Federal Reserve Chairman said, it's a little intriguing. So let me kind of caption the entry points that I, or the big points that I focused in on when he was saying there. So folks, if you have some tidbits you'd like to join, you provide us, if you know something behind the scenes that may, I might not be covering. And like I always say, if you guys can just give me a thumbs up, if you're watching and you can hear me and see me okay, please just give me a thumbs up and let me know everything's going okay. So the Federal Chairman came in and they said, okay, we're not going to change rates. All right, and then what we start seeing is, what are they changing in their verbiage, and how are they going to react, or a lot of the information that they give to the news media when they're asking them questions. So here's what kind of the commentary came out. There wasn't a lot of changes in their dialogue on what they pre-write, but they did say this in one of the questions he was asked. They said, well, how's the economy looking? Because they look at, I didn't bring these things up on the screen, so we're going to go to the Federal Reserve at a glance. It came up on the wrong screen. It needs to come up on this screen. So here's the Federal Reserve at a glance. And we got something updated today, and that's right through here. That's the GDP. The GDP was at a negative 0.5 previous reading on here. So when he was going over, the Federal Chairman, he said, okay, we're going to keep rates right here, sticky where they are. And he was going through here, and here's basically what he said. He said, inflation, yeah, it's high, a little bit higher than we expect. He didn't say high. He said a little bit elevated, I guess, is what he was saying. And he said and then he started talking about tariffs, and he said they're a little bit elevated on tariffs. He didn't really want to dive into that really in detail, but he made a comment saying our long-term outlook for the next 2 years still puts us at a projection of a 2% inflation target. So I'm thinking, okay, well, if you're saying even with the tariff news you have today, and that will push inflation a little bit higher, but you're still saying over the next 2 years, because he made a comment saying it's probably going to be a one-off, and he made the comment it's going to be, you know, long-term inflation should be in check. But then he made a comment, and this is the one that kind of threw me for a loop. He said, if you look at the data here, we have the PC here, inflation, a little bit elevated than we expect, but again, we're expecting this to come in line. We have unemployment that's okay. He said it's fine. It's actually solid. And it's at a 4.1 unemployment rate, which is historically low. Okay, and then we got GDP at 3. So it's saying the economy's kicking. The jobs reports are okay, and inflation isn't going crazy like a lot of people anticipated. Now, a lot of people thought, well, rates, you know, inflation, this was going to tick up to 3, 4, 5, 7% inflation again. And then a lot of economists saying, no, it's not going to be that way. So that's actually what's kind of happening behind the scenes. Now, I did watch an interview also this morning with an investor who has known Trump for 60 years, he said. And he said his modem or how he does things is exactly how you're seeing it transform. He said what he does is he throws a hand grenade in the room and then walks in afterwards and watches the dust settle and starts to negotiate. And he said if you know how his tactics are, then you kind of know what's going to go on. So that's basically what's going on behind the scenes. So what are we seeing with a lot of this? Now, I don't want to get political. I really want to get off the political. People calling me, you know, MAGA, and then other people hating me because I don't stand for something. So I don't want to get political at all. I just want you guys to look at the economy. And maybe not your exact bubble per se, and I don't mean that rudely, but if you look at the national numbers, like if you ever watch, you know, some of the crash people or things like that, they're always giving you, you know, they dissect one little community out of the whole thing. Okay, well, yes, I can figure out or find a house in my community that's distressed and say the house prices are dropping because they have a price cut. But if you look at everything, the nation as a whole, that's what we need to focus in on. That's what I try to focus in on the show. So if you look at this data right through here with the inflation, unemployment, and everything, especially GDP now in check, what's the problem? So he's coming back saying, okay, the economy looks too good. Do we really need to cut rates? And that's a pretty bad way to look at federal policies, because you know, are you waiting for something to crack before you cut rates? Maybe that's not the way to do it, because you didn't start increasing rates until the inflation rate ticked up to like 4 or 5%, and then you start.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cutting rates. So are you waiting for the inflation rate or the economy to basically crater at this point? I'm just throwing out these ideas, because if you have inflation pretty much right in line, or at least the long term that is there for what the Federal Reserve is looking at, you got unemployment there, and he also said income is exceeding inflation. Well, that looks like a pretty robust economy to me. Okay, you guys might differ. If you do, please comment below. Let's go over to the MBSs. They're still tanking, and I still can't figure this out, because the data, everything that we got so far was great news. So I'm going to say this is going to be a hiccup right now. So let's get over to the markets and see how they're taking this. And let's refresh this real quick to see if we can get any highlights through here. So with the markets, the only thing I can think of on here, the markets, they're wanting rate cuts. And the Federal Reserve just keeps, you know, kicking the can down the street on this. But let's see, S&P kicks off higher after strong GDP, but gains muted as Fed keeps rates the same. So a lot of people, you know, I hope people weren't expecting the Fed to cut rates this time, because we basically knew they weren't. But we wanted to see the verbiage of what they're saying. And I'm just telling you right now, folks, based on the data that they provided in the conference, and it's still going on, and maybe he said something, maybe the chairman said something that the markets didn't like that I missed because of the live channel. But right now, the market's down 102%, but this could be a blip, because the markets are waiting or hoping on lower rates, and that will help the markets, because that'll cost a lot of companies as well as our country much less in a lot of the interest that we're paying on our national debt. So let's go back to it. It's now down 15. Let's see if there's any commentary or things through here that we're watching. I don't like bringing you guys to the conference directly, because that's kind of a shitty way to do this, you know, putting them up on the screen and letting them talk, and then I'm getting credits for it on YouTube. I don't like doing that. I like to explain it to you. So that's what's going on right through here. Let's see if mortgage rates are adjusting at all. I think mortgage rates are going to be basically flat right now. The market's doing this. Let's go back to the stock market, see what it's going. So the only thing I can see, well, let's go and see what verbiage that the Federal Reserve had. Let's see if it's in here yet. Divided Fed holds key interest rate steady, defying Trump's demand for aggressive rate cuts. This is, I think, one of the first times that you had more and more people dissenting on what's going to happen with rates. Let's just go through more of the data on the economy, because that's the focal point that we want to focus in on, because we can't just take what the Federal Reserve's doing and figure out, okay, what's going on with mortgage rates. So here's what I have a lot of people do, and this probably happened to me on three conversations in the last 24 hours. People are saying, okay, should I apply now or buy or refinance, or should I wait, because I know the Federal Reserve's going to cut rates in September, and at that point, then rates are going to come down. Well, if you remember what happened last September, Well, last September, the Federal Reserve cut rates in September, the September meeting, by 50 basis points. It was unexpected that they would cut that much. The markets, what happened? Well, within, I want to say it was 3 to 4 days, interest rates on mortgages were up 1 full percent. Because a lot of this has to do with the our government's efficiencies, I guess is the best way to point it. So let's look at the bond market so you guys can understand this part of a little bit more. Mortgage rates are tied to a bond, and we go back to the bond market, and here's where it is, okay? But it's also, it has some relationship to the 10-year treasury. Okay, so let's look at the supply and demand of a treasury. Who wants these, who doesn't want these, and so forth. Well, our U.S. Treasury debt is still probably the most sought-off country debt in the whole world because they know the U.S. isn't going to default, okay? So the 10-year treasury is based on our economics, our government efficiencies, our tax structures, how the economies, there's a whole bunch of things that have to do with this. Now, short-term rates, they're mostly affected by the Fed in short-term interest rates. So let me go over to this thing. So I want to show you the federal funds rate. Here's the federal funds rate. And I do this a lot of times on my videos, but I want you guys to understand why the president is so adamant about the Federal Reserve cutting rates, because they don't in a direct way, but in a correlation way, they do play a role in short-term interest rates. So let's look at the yield curve. And if you've seen this before, you know, I want to emphasize this, how it truly works. Okay, so I'm going to go in the yield curve. Let's see what this brings up. And I think it's like the third one down here, right down through here. Daily yield curve. I think this is the one right through here. So if you look at a yield curve, and I hope this is the one. No, that's not the one. Bear with me, folks, and I apologize about this. I wasn't going to go deeply into the yield curve with you today, but I want you to understand how it works. Yield curve, that's Wikipedia, IRS. Shoot, where is it? Daily yield curve. This might be it. Nope. I'll find it for you. Probably not it. I want to see today's yield curve. Well, if I can't find it, I'll explain it to you. The yield curve should be something on the end of short-term interest rates. Well, that's kind of what the Federal Reserve controls right through here. These should be about 0.5%. On the highest end, the federal funds rate should be where inflation is, okay, just to put a lid on where the inflation's going. Okay, so if we have, even the Federal Reserve says, inflation, our long-term goal targets are still pointing at a 2% handle. Well, let's just say today it's inflated. Let's say it's on a high of 3%. Let's just say tariffs hit, it's a one-time hit or whatever, and it pumps the inflation rate, or the PCE, to 3%. That's what the Federal Reserve monitors. Okay, so now let's look at this. So why would you have the rate that you control higher than when inflation is? This should be basically equivalent to that or lower. So over the last, you know, 20, 30 years, if I could find that darn inflation yield curve thing, what you see is a yield curve that basically goes, it starts on the short end. I'm going to do it one more time and then I give up. This isn't it. It starts low on the front end, like the rate. There it is. Sheesh, I don't know why it takes me so long. Here's the yield curve today. Okay, so here's what a normal yield curve can be, whatever normal might be. Let's just go back to 2000 and, I don't know, 5. Let's see if that one makes sense. That's kind of how a yield curve should look. Okay, it should have interest rates on the front end, the short-term interest rates. Basically, what were they here? Fed's fund, where is it right there here? 3.2 or something like that. Okay, that's where it was. And then you go, interest rates go up over time. Why? Well, this is the cost of money. Okay, so if you want to tie up your money for a longer duration of time, you want to be rewarded for that. So this is semi what a normal mortgage yield curve should look like. What does it look like today because of the Fed? Well, right through here. Why? Well, here's, look at the right through here. This is 4.25 to 4.5. That other one was back down to 3 something. So that's where it should be, because you're keeping the front end of the yield curve so high, this is skewing all basically the economy, because rates should be down here. So people are paying more interest than they should. And then on the other side of the equation, this is on a corporate level, this is how banks make money. They lend you money on a long-term rate, But they get their money on short-term, like security, when you put your money into the bank or put your money into a money market or a CD. The bank's taking that money and using it for long-term investments. So if your CD is getting 5%, well, the bank, they need a profit margin there, so they can't have interest rates at 5%. So this is the reason why mortgage rates that you're seeing right through here is never going to get to 5% anytime soon. Because unless the Federal Reserve cuts the federal funds rate that they control, and it flattens out this yield curve. Let's go back and see if 1990 something. Let's just see what this looks like, just to give it. See, that's how it should be, way low down here. What is this one? It's that one's crazy. That's 8%, because that must be during some really bad times. But let's go to 1999. Maybe that would help us. You get my drift here, okay, folks? So these are all screwed up yield curves because it was I picked some bad dates for this, but you get my point. Yields should be low on the front end and higher on the back end. That's also why you're seeing a lot of times over here on adjustable interest rates. Usually, well, this isn't a bad spread, but usually the spread between adjustable rates and fixed rates, usually it's pretty big. This isn't a bad spread right now where it's a 50 basis point adjustment. There's many times we've gone in here and rates on the ARMs are equal to or higher than they are in fixed rates or long-term rates because of the yield curve and because where the Federal Reserve has the rates set. So that's the argument from the government's point of view on why interest rates should be down. And even the Federal Reserve came in today and said, okay, if we go across the board, we see PCE or inflation, it's a little bit elevated now, but our outlook's still saying 2% within the next 2 years, so we're okay there. The unemployment rate is historically at a low point, and we got a new GDP coming in today at a positive 3. What else do you want? Okay, but their concern is, well, the economy's cranking right now. Why do we have to cut rates? It's a pretty bad way to look at it, because this is can save the consumer a lot of money, and maybe as the jobs market, it is cutting back a little bit, but maybe you can salvage that as well. So if you guys got any questions, I'd love to answer anything you might have for me today. And then when you come back, when we're done answering questions, we'll hop back in and see what the MBS market's doing based on some of the data that we got in just now. The Fed is political. The people suffer while the Fed hates Trump. If I recall correctly, President Trump actually appointed Federal Chairman Powell to the position. I'm almost sure of that. And then lately what's been going on, he's just like, okay, when are you going to start cutting rates? Because even in, and this was a kind of an anomaly in there, even in Federal Chairman Powell's speech today, one of the first parts of his speech was saying the housing market's not a very good place right now. And when you have that, and then you're saying, oh, the rest of the economy is great, doesn't that tell you maybe rates are a little too high? Just saying. So I really don't want to get political because I'm getting an audience that's really starting to not like me because of some of the good things I say about this administration. And that's not my whole point here, folks. I just want you to understand. That's my only point behind a lot of this. So let's keep going through any questions. If you guys have them, please ask. I'd love to answer anything. And that's why you're here. Let's go to the next one. Yay, more bullshit. Well, thanks. You should bookmark that page. You always have trouble finding it. You know, I'm going to go in there right now. You are correct. I'm going to bookmark it right now. I just did it on my screen. Done. Yield curve. Okay. I just bookmarked it, folks. So thank you so much for that. So let's go across the screen one last time just so I can give you a recast of what's going on. Let's go back to, I'm going to refresh the MBS mark screen. Did it rally there for a second? Nope. What are we down now? That's the 10-year treasury. Let's just get over to my normal view that I look at, go through here. And the MBSs are now down 19 ticks. I didn't see that one coming, folks. I got to tell you that one. So that means mortgage rates are going to go up a little bit today. I'm going to have let the market settle on this because many times you have this knee-jerk reaction and then the data as it flows in and people start looking at the transcripts and everything else. And that's what I'll be doing tonight on leisure time, believe it or not. We'll be looking at that and just seeing. But the highlights that I focused on the report today, folks, I see this as a good market right now. And I could, you know, I don't mean to always seem like the glass is always half full. But again, if you look at all the indicators that the Federal Reserve is looking at saying the economy's in pretty darn good shape. What tariffs are going to do, We don't know, but it doesn't look like it's going to be as bad as basically all the economists expected. And then when you get to the economic calendar, let's go to that. We're going to have more news coming in tomorrow, so let's go to the Bloomberg calendar. I didn't have this pre-set up, but I'll just walk you through what I do when I do this, folks. So just go to the economic Bloomberg calendar. I want you guys to filter this. This will give you all the pertinent information you need for the day. So you're going to scroll down there. You're going to hit United States. Click all the categories. You want all the economic data that's out there. And for right now, let's just click the top two data points that's coming in. So here's what we're looking at so far. And this is data that we got through the week so far. And then I'm going to let you know what data is coming in on Thursday and Friday. But here's what we looked at so far this week. We had consumer confidence, which was up from 95 to 97, however that is. We got the JOLTS index staying steady right now at about 7.5 million. So I'll take that. We have the Atlanta's GDP. They were predicting 2.9. It came in today, and it did come in at 3. Then we got the ADP payroll number coming in today, and this one's crazy. The last time they predicted this, they were way off mark, but they said this time there's going to be about 77,000 new jobs created. There was 104. So they missed these usually by a lot, I'll put it that way. So didn't give that much credence in there. Go over to the PCE. This is the PCE number that the Fed was talking about, 2.5 right now. Previous number was 3.5, so that's going in a great direction. You have GDP. Last reading was -0.5. They expected a 2.5, came in at 3. Pending home sales are falling off a complete cliff, and the federal chairman even mentioned that. He said, it's just tough for homeowners right now and home buyers in this market. And then conversely, he says we're not cutting rates, which is like a whatever. So then we go over to here, and the continued jobless claims are what we're going to get tomorrow. So we're going to get initial jobless claims. We're going to monitor this in detail because this is where the next catalyst we want to really pay attention to. Are the jobs creation starting to really deplete right now? But if you do get let go, are you continuing to get claims, jobless claims, or are you able to find a job? So we're going to focus in on this. Is this starting to build or not? Over the last couple sessions, this has been pretty steady. So that means if you like, most people that got let go probably got picked back up, or at least people in the job market got picked back up. Then we're going to get the PCE. This is the number one inflation number that the Federal Reserve monitors. So this is a huge number that's coming in tomorrow. Wish it would have came in today so he can look at that and say, okay, here's what inflation might or might not be doing. But that's coming in tomorrow, unfortunately. And then what else? Atlanta Fed GDP, that's it there. And then on Friday, this is when wages and everything start to really come into play. So you're going to get average hourly earnings for the month. For the year, look at the year. Year over year, last reading was up 3.7. So if inflation, let's say on the high end's 3, at least you're somewhat keeping up with inflation, I guess is a good way to put it. And then we're going to get the unemployment rate. So this is going to tell us the jobs market, how it's going. Tomorrow's going to give us a better bead on where inflation's going. And I wish that was all pre this meeting, because now they're saying, okay, we're going to kick the can once again for more data to come in. So that's what they gave us so far today. Let's get to some more questions out there. Dan, when you turn your head, it looks at the screen, we can't hear you. My apologies, folks. I have some the condensers on my microphone, so you don't hear all kind of things. So I'll try to stay in the mic while I can, so you guys can hear me. So thank you so much for that. Buy low, sell chai. I greatly appreciate it. So let's just, if you guys got any questions, love to answer those. But I think the market's going to have to digest this data. But so far, I don't know what they're pulling out of this, but I think the markets maybe were expecting a more dovish effect from the Fed, and I think we got it. But I think people might need to read the transcripts. So let's recap it. Right now, mortgage rates, let's go in this. This will get revised. It will be revised by the end of the day, I can guarantee you, folks. Right now, we got the mortgage-backed security market. It is down 19. That means mortgage rates are going to tick up a little bit. They might go to 6.8. It's not going to be a major move because we already had a couple price exceptions here for the day. But I don't understand the deterioration in the bond market right now because there has been really good settlements on tariffs, and there's been good news coming in regards to that front. And the Federal Reserve, like they said, the economy right now is not looking all that bad. We go over to the markets. Right now, let's see how the stock market is doing overall. Sheesh, that's a huge pullback, folks. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to let you guys go. Hopefully you can hear me when I do turn my thing. I'm going to let you guys go. I'm going to go and read transcripts and do all the research I need to do in the back end. Then I will be back at the closing bell to kind of summarize what the Federal Reserve did and why the markets are reacting as much as they do. We do have the VIX is right above my head, right up through here. It is up 6%. That's not good. That's saying there's anxiety in the markets. I'm just trying to figure out where it is, because if you go through here, divided Fed holds key interest rates steady, defying Trump's demands for aggressive rate cuts. So we're going to focus in more and more on that. President Trump Trump imposes universal 50% tariffs on copper. Maybe that's something to do that. I think that's already been in the works. There really doesn't seem like there's much more there that should be upsetting the market like it is. But again, it could be a volatile session right now. It was steady going into this. It spiked up just a little bit when the Federal Reserve announced, and it's been downhill since then. And what you have to understand is, this price of this bond goes down, mortgage rates are going up. So we have mortgage rates going up right now. We have the Dow Jones tumbling a little bit, over 300 points right now on the Dow. So the markets aren't looking too good. I won't say today's a Cinderella story, because stocks are down, bonds are up, and it looks like the Federal Reserve's not doing anything at this meeting, and it doesn't look like they're going to be doing much down the road either. So that's it for today, folks. I greatly appreciate you joining me so I can at least summarize what the Federal Reserve did. You can see live instant reactions to this. The interest rates are going up from here. Fed is not ready. Yep. Interest rates are just pushing up a little bit right now, but the equities for some reason are taking it on the chin a little bit more than I thought. So I'll dive into this. I'll be back at the closing bell to explain all this and help you understand how the markets are reacting and the whys behind it.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.